I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. Something I've been thinking about. And I'd like to start, I think, in Philippians. Second chapter of Philippians. Second chapter, first verse. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. I want to think a little bit today about let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But let this mind be in you. And I think, I was thinking about having the mind of God. And then I want to say right off that I think it's Isaiah 55 that says that God's ways is higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We're not competing with the mind of God for sure. But I was challenged by the idea, do I think the thoughts of God? And when I'm making decisions in my life and I'm looking, responding to things in my life, am I thinking in accordance with God's thoughts, the way God would think about it? The Word of God really is just the expression of God's thoughts and will. When we're saying that we're living by the Word of God, this is what we're saying, that we've incorporated the Word of God into our thinking, and so we respond. The scripture, one scripture says that if you're hearers only of the Word and not doers, you're like someone that looks into a glass, sees himself and goes away. It's talk promoting the idea that we're doers of the Word. And you forget and go away and forget. Well, having the mind of God, this says that let this mind, sounds like I got something to do with it. That's all it is in every Christian aspect. You do have something to do with it. Letting or not letting is a part of this. Let this mind be in you. Pursue this. Desire this. Want to think and pattern yourself of the way God will actually think about things. And so I asked myself some questions. How many places do you think there is that God was really thinking something this way and I'm thinking it this way? You know, when we deal with one another, we deal with people. That's one of the greatest challenges if we all just face. The dealing with people can be a real challenge. You ever think about what God is thinking about it? What would Jesus actually think about? Sometimes we can get defensive about it. But what is God's desire for that person? And what would it take to get him there? I was watching something recently, listening to something, and a guy was being, it was entertaining. I would admit that it was entertaining. And he was trying to convince somebody of something. And I thought, you'll never convince them that way. The approach that you're having will make them cringe. The approach will give them a defensive attitude before you get anywhere involved. If it would be profitable, if it would be valuable, if they would change their mind, if it would help them, maybe that's the way God would think about it. But if you put the goal that God thinks about somebody, He loves us and He's thinking about their salvation. You know, if we really thought about someone's salvation, if we was having the thoughts in our mind, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, and this is what Christ Jesus was really focusing on and thinking about, that the people in your life, He wants them to be saved. And the focus is that Jesus would not say words if He didn't have to. God would say, He would say what He needed to do. He would walk humbly. He would do whatever He had to do for their salvation. And I thought about, do we have the same mind, or does it somehow hurt me, or I think about it offensive or something, if somebody's not dressing right, or if somebody's not speaking right, or if somebody's not, you know what the Lord's thinking about? What's best for their salvation? Let this mind be in you. And then if I'm thinking about the salvation, people's salvation, I'm thinking about what God would think about in these situations, then I would respond to it differently. If someone attacks me personally, they attack God personally. They attack Jesus personally, and He said not a word. Why? That wasn't His mind. His mind wasn't to get off into the weeds about that. His mind was to bring salvation to them. So the admonition of this scripture is to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. This is what He thought about these situations. So there was another place in the scriptures to where something was going on, and the disciples asked the Lord. They had rejected. They was in the process, I believe, of rejecting the Lord in this situation. They didn't want Him there. And the disciples look at that and says, Master, should we call down fire from heaven like Elias did? Here was their mind, and their thing is that we're hurt. We're hurt that we're being rejected. We don't think this is the good for the cause of our cause. This is not good. Lord, do you want us to call down fire? We'll just burn them up. Aren't you glad that human mind wasn't involved in this salvation plan? Aren't you glad? I remember one time somebody said something to me, and it really stuck with me over the years. They was having problems where they was working with some guys. Guys was being what guys will do, and they was being hard and being disrespectful and all that. And so this person made the comment, "They better be glad I'm not God." And I said, "I'm glad you're not God." The human thought process was there. They're disrespecting the church. They're disrespecting me for living right. They're disrespecting God Himself. I bring fire down on them. I would bring the rain. Do you know what God's desire for those people, regardless of their disrespect, their mouth, how they acted, whether they drank beer or smoked pot? You know what God's desire was? That He have a way to get to them and touch their lives until they would see the situation they're in and repent of their sins, and He can make them different than they were. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that He didn't get off in the weeds with the other things, but in His mind stayed for the purpose that He had in mind for it. Yeah, I'm glad that He wasn't God. I'm glad the disciples wasn't God here, that they looked at that. Has anyone in here, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody in here ever been guilty of rejecting God's dealings? Has anybody in here ever just knew what the Lord wanted and said, I'm not willing to do it? You know, God's had mercy on every one of us. Every one of us. And I'm glad that he has this mind that he has. He's got the mind that I'm going to do everything I can do to get them to heaven. I'm going to do everything I can do to make their life better. I'm going to do everything that I can. Sometimes somebody's easy to be touched and they get saved young and so the Lord can work with them. And sometimes people are hard-headed and difficult most all their life. And there's times people are saved at the very end of their life and in that. And the Lord stayed true all the way through trying to talk with them and help them. Let this mind be in you. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Maybe, yes, they've rejected and they've rejected and they've rejected. But God was always faithful. Brother Ed Johnson comes to my mind, him and his wife. He's actually family, some in here, Sister Jan. But this was such a testimony to me and an appreciation for their humble, simple life and care. One of Linda's uncles was an alcoholic and drug abuser, and he had thrown his life away basically for what we had seen. He ended up dying at 48 years old. But in the course of his dying, he was in and out of the hospital. I think he had hepatitis. He had ruined his liver. He had all these kind of problems. And every time he got in trouble, it was almost like there was no judgment. There was none of this. They would juices for him. They would take him these things to. They ministered to this guy over and over and over again. And Sister Jan was blind during all that time. And they would make him juices and do all this stuff that when he wanted to try to change, he'd be in the hospital and he would want to try to change. I know a lot of people could say, yeah, he's been doing that over and over, taking advantage of people. He's been doing this. Now he's here again. He was here last month and the month before and last year and the year before. And here he is again. And do you know every time he got in trouble, here they was. They was as faithful to him. They poured themselves out to help him. I don't know what his ending of his life was. I know it was tragic. I know it was bad. But their mind and their heart, I could always say, that seemed like it represented the mind of Christ to me. That Jesus was willing, I believe Jesus was willing every time he went in there and wanted to change. He would get out of the hospital and he'd go right back. Over and over, he'd get out and go right back. Days later, go right back. And at the end, God's servants were still ministering to him because God was still ministering with him. And God had a mind towards him. And his dear mother, I know this, his dear mother spent her life praying for him. Those that knew it. I mean, she loved him and prayed for him and pointed out to him, let this mind be in you. You know, it's easy to get away from really what the objective of what God has us here for and what God wants us to do. And we can get into our own ideas and I can respond because somebody hurt me. It's hard not to. But the mind of Christ didn't respond because they hurt him to bring hurt back. Even though he was hurt, reviled. He reviled not again. The mind that he had was the mind of God. Let me look at a scripture. I want to look at Matthew 22. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Everybody goes on, and this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. To love God with all of our mind. I think when we really love something, we really love it. You put value to it. It becomes valuable. It's the most valuable thing. And I've noticed people that really love stuff put their mind to it. People can tell me things about things like somebody that really loves fishing, for instance. You have your weekend fisherman, you have your every once in a while fisherman, and then you got your fisherman. You got somebody that loves fishing. And when you start talking about somebody that really loves fishing, they're going to start telling you stuff that you don't know. They're going to remember things that you won't remember. They're going to know techniques and how to do things that you don't know and you've never experienced with, but they know what pound line goes on what reel. They know what, how long a pole you want. They want to know what kind of lures you want. They want to know what kind of bait you want. They want to know when the fish is running, when the fish are baiting, and how deep. My son-in-law Trent can tell you when the fish are low, when they're up, what temperatures they come up on, and technical. He's very good at this stuff. He's loved it. He wants to do it. And do you know when we love something, it says to love God with your mind, your heart, your soul, your mind. When you love God like that, there's a desire. There's a real desire to want to know, Lord, how should I act here in this situation? What is the best way to act? I want to be what you want me to be in this situation. And there's a familiar scripture in Romans 12. We quote sometimes the first of it because it's one of the main scriptures. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It's one of our memory verses a lot of times that we have. And it says, but the second verse of that, which is not quoted as much, says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thinking different. Not being conformed to the world. Because the world has a pattern. If you know what I'm talking about. There's a pattern of thinking that is created from living in the world. There is a way of living life and doing things that the world has produced in us. We have a certain way of performing certain things that you do. And it really went into the Sunday school lesson. Was talking about, there was some examples given about people that done something, want to go and re and make it right. There's a renewing of the mind. We want to think the right way. I want to think about the things I should think about. I was in the parking lot. We was in the parking lot at Walmart one time, and I looked down and there was a wad of bills in the parking lot. Wow, how fortunate for me. Well, I mean, they're laying there. I didn't walk by them. I picked them up, and this is the process of my mind. These ain't mine. And somebody might need them. What if this was somebody? I did not look at, best I remember, I did not unroll them. They weren't mine. Now what do I do? I don't know I don't know what the story behind them. Maybe somebody pulled his keys out and they're all $1 bills. I don't know, but there's a roll of money that might be somebody's grocery bill. They might be somebody's rent. I don't know, but they belong to somebody, and that somebody's not me. I wanted the best chance to get them back. I don't know if it ever went back to the ones. I don't know if anybody would. Most people would have probably thought, well, somebody picks them up, they're gone anyway. But I went in and gave them to the Walmart desk and said, listen, if somebody comes in and asks, I mean, that they lost this and wondered, this was laying in the parking lot. Get it back to them if you can. In my mind, I was saying, was like, well, maybe they should have took my name if nobody comes and gets it. They didn't take my, I hope it gets back to them. But with this, it's talking about the mind. I could have put it in my pocket. I could have done whatever. But why the renewing? There's a way the world does things. A lot of things. There's an attitude that we have. Do me wrong and I'll get you somewhere. I'll say away, all these things, I'll do it. I wouldn't do you right after you do me wrong. At the most you'll get out of me is indifference. And you'll be blessed to get that. But that's not the mind that Christ had. Christ had the mind that he was going to bless, even though he was cursed. So being not conformed to the way the world does things, the way the world thinks about things, the way it does, I'm only going to give as much as I can, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that tells me is? That tells me that it's going to take a power beyond our power. David was a unique character in the scriptures, King David. We all know the story. He was the most prominent king of the New Testament. He was, I guess, the second king. But the high water mark in the Bible of the Old Testament kings, they didn't say they was like their father Saul or not. They said they were like their father David or not. David was the high water mark for the kings to live up to. And if you didn't live up to it, then you were not faithful. And those that said he was like his father David. David had failures. He was human. He had failures. He had done all those things. But there was a statement that was made about David that wasn't made about the others. And that he was a man. I think he's the only one in the Bible that said this way about. He was a man after God's own heart. David pursued God's thinking. David pursued God's heart. I want to have the heart that God has. He was a man after, going after, reaching after God's own heart. He wanted God in his life. He wanted to have God in his life. There was failures in it for sure. But he was quoted that he was a man that was after God's own heart. He wanted to perform in the way that God would perform. He wanted to think in the patterns that God thought in. If God didn't want something, he didn't want it. And it was such a contrast when Saul comes along and the things that Saul had done was exactly opposite of being after the failures that he had proven that he wasn't a man after God's own heart. When it come time to make the sacrifice and it was forbidden to do it, Saul didn't care. He was like, if they don't come, I'll do it myself. Well, wait a minute, you're not supposed to do it. This is going to displease God. Don't care if it displeases God. Doesn't make any difference. And God tells, the prophet comes and tells him, this is God's mind, this is God's heart. I want you to go and destroy. This is what I want you to do. And Saul doesn't have any care about going and doing what God wanted him, really wanted him to do. But David had a heart that he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Now those are all stories of the Old Testament and all. But let this mind be in you. Enoch walked with God. He had a mind for God. This is the New Testament ideas. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How should I think about this rising conflict with me and my neighbor? That he's a soul? That he's a soul. Do I have to swallow something? Maybe. But how should I respond to this situation that's come up in my life? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. For all the benefits that I've received from the Lord, Lord, help me to be able to return those to my fellow man, because God has been so merciful to me in what I'm doing. So it's very important to what we believe. It's very important to what we think. And when we look and say to the world around us and those that are around us, it's not just an indifference. Oh, I'm not saying that it'd be possible to go to Walmart and talk to everybody there. But everybody there is important to God. It seems as in the mind of God, the way Jesus, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that he was going to take the opportunity that was presented to him to be able to touch somebody. He was going to take this place. And you think about how the world, being conformed to the world, they looked at Jesus one time and a woman of ill repute went to washing his feet, and everybody there condemned the whole situation except for God, for the Lord. He seen it for what it really was. There was another time that he was at a well, and a Samaritan woman was absolutely shocked that a Jewish man would talk to a Samaritan woman. It was so out of the ordinary. He said, "What dealings do you have with us? I'm a Samaritan." But his mind wasn't like the conforming of the world. There was another time where you remember when the Pharisees looked and said, "He's eaten with sinners." "He must not know what manner of woman that is, or he'd never let her wash his feet." The conformity to the world that they had, the mind that they had of the world. But Jesus superseded all that with what his desire was. And Lord help us, but this was his desire. And this is what he fought. He dismissed the rest of it for this idea. I want him to be saved. So they asked him one time, "Should we call down fire?" You remember his response? "You know not what spirit you're of. I didn't come to the world to condemn the world, but I come that they might be saved." He didn't come to call fire down. His mission wasn't fire. When we start thinking that way, folks, that's the wrong thought. Because we all deserve a little bit of fire. And he had mercy on us and brought truth to us. And so we have this opportunity, if you will, to have the mind of God. Lord, help us to think in the patterns that the Lord would. Lord, what spirit should I have? What pattern of thinking? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You'll see the greater testimonies was always derived right here. When those that had a greater purpose of salvation for those that are around them, they were willing and able to look beyond what you can see here. And what was going on here. And I like to tell this story. I don't mean to puff anybody up, but Brother Harlan Sorrell years ago got a guy to work for him, paid him a lot of money, and the guy ran off and didn't do it. And later this guy comes back into his life, and Brother Harlan befriends him, takes him back in and lets him, and actually takes him, he got in such a bad, and took him back in and said, and marvel why would you do something like that? This guy robbed you of thousands of dollars. This guy cheated you. Why would you do it? Because he looked beyond it. That's a small price for a soul. Jesus died for us. Let this mind be in you. What a challenge to me. What a challenge to be able to go through life with the mind of Christ. To be able to look at things through the window and the perspective of eternal salvation. And be able to look and say, what I do here may cost something of this world, but it will benefit in eternity. It'll be so valuable beyond this. So there's a mind that the Lord, I think, wants us to have. It's the one of David who is after God's own heart. Lord, I'm not going to suppose here today that we have a great have to have or will have a great level of understanding. There's always different places of understanding. But I believe that having the right mind and heart is the key of all the situations. Different times, I remember having an issue. Don't want to say too much, but remember having an issue and with my neighbor. And I felt so strongly that the Lord spoke to me in the moment of fervor, when you would feel hot, when you feel like things wasn't what they ought to be, and said, "They have souls." It really didn't mean much after that. Oh, a few chickens here and there don't make a whole lot of difference. a few missed things here and there don't make a whole lot of difference. Oh, there'll always be a few tracks in your yard, or there'll be, you know, I had a neighbor's dog run over and jumped over my patio one time to catch our pet rabbit. Jumped over the patio deal, jumped right over and grabbed the rabbit, and I caught it going around the corner of the house with the rabbit in its mouth. That it ain't no comparison to the souls of people. Lord, help us to have the right mind. Lord, what can we do in this life to be a better example, to look at those that are around, to see and have paces of pity on people, and to realize that everyone that we run into, yeah, that one, well, it's kind of my fault, but I mean, the one that got so mad and so upset about the way I was driving and had their gestures and all that, folks, they're still a soul. Lord, help us to have the right minds. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And go on in that scripture, you'll find out something, that he humbled himself and become obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. You pray for me.